This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Shemois, Parshas Mishpatim. Tonight's shiur, as all the shiurim on Sefer Shemois are dedicated by the Zakheim family, Le'iloi Nishmas of Shlomo Eliezer, Ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, and Rab David Ben Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. The shiurim and Chodesh Shvat are dedicated by the Israeli family of Great Neck, Le'iloi Nishmas Meir Ben David, whose yahrzeit is Ches Shevat, and Yehoshua ben Yechezkel Chaf Tes Shevat. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by David Cohen as Refuah Shleima for Tova Bat Aryeh. Shav Refuah Shleima, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. Okay, we have very good news. The first Sefer, Magid Rakia on Purim, which was out of print, has been reprinted. It's available in Eretz Yisrael. It's arriving in America. It already arrived in America. It was supposed to get to my house tonight. It may still get to my house tonight, but it will be available tomorrow. It will be available at better farm stores near you, or you could order it at rabbidg.com. And of course, this past Shabbos was the historic Art Scroll Shabbos. They have a Shabbos once every, I don't know, 5-7 years, every Shemitah cycle. This Sefer on Purim, if you want to appreciate Purim, the concealed and the revealed. Also very exciting news upcoming. We just finished typesetting the Haggadah Shel Pesach in Spanish and French. That might be the one thing missing from your Seder. I know you've said the Manishtana in English, in Hebrew, in Yiddish. You probably have never said it in Spanish. Likely you never said it in French. This will ensure more languages at your Seder. And the good news is, you know, on every Art Scroll book on the top, besides the title, it says somebody's family name. And that spot on the Haggadah in Spanish and French, it's empty now. You know why? Because it's available for you. You could put your family name there and memorialize the name until Mashiach comes. Okay, we're going to talk about a very important topic tonight. The Gemara issues a very interesting statement about marriage. Okay? State of the Union address. What is somebody like if they don't have a wife? What is a single person like? So the Gemara says, Hashori b'loi isha, someone who lives without a wife. Sharoi b'loi bracha, he has no blessing, because through a wife, that's the channel of blessing. The Gemara says other things that a person is missing without a wife. And they're understandable. We understand you need a wife to have blessing. The Gemara says, Shari b'loi simcha, you can't have real joy without a wife. But the Gemara makes a very surprising statement. The Gemara in Yevama says, on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, Hasharoi b'loi isha, sharoi b'loi Torah. If you don't have a wife, then you don't have Torah. Why don't you have Torah? Most yeshiva bachrim don't have a wife. Go to most yeshiva bachrim between 17 and 21 years old. They don't have a wife yet. Maybe one day they'll make a takana to alleviate the shidduch crisis and they'll make them all get married. But until then, they have a lot of Torah. They're there 3 siddurim a day. They're their morning seder, they're their afternoon seder, they're their night seder. Hashari b'leisha, hashari b'lei Torah. You need a wife to have Torah? What, the wife is going to teach you Tosis? The wife teaches you Torah? Why do you need a wife to have Torah? That's what we're going to discuss this evening. Parshas Mishpatim talks about two very interesting mitzvahs. Mitzvah number one is mitzvahs prika. What's prika? You're walking down the street, you're walking down Central Avenue, West Broadway, and you see your friend who has a donkey. And the donkey is overburdened with a very heavy load. And the donkey is schwitzing, the donkey's back is breaking. And there's a mitzvah to help your friend unload the donkey. That's the mitzvah of Azoiv Ta'azoivimai. The pasuk says, Kisira chamar soinacha roivetz tachas masoi v'chadalta me'azoiv loy azoiv ta'azoiv imai. Now, in Parshas Kiseitse, there's a similar mitzvah where instead of seeing your friend's donkey that's overburdened, you see your friend trying to lift up a heavy package on top of his donkey, and your friend is not able to load his donkey. The pasuk says, "Ki sirah chamar soinacha roivetz tachas masoiv." It's the mitzvah of te'ina. The mitzvah of te'ina. Okay? So there are two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah of prika and the mitzvah of te'ina. The Gemara, Masechta Bava Metzia, says, what's the nafkamina between the mitzvah of prika and the mitzvah of te'ina? Let's say you see your friend's donkey, and it's overburdened, and your friend says, you want to do me a favor? Help me take the burden off my donkey. And you say to your friend, what do you mean? I work for a living. I make $250 an hour. So your friend says, I don't care how much money you make. I need help. Do you have to help him for free? The halach is, the Gemara says, mitzvah min atar lifreik b'chinam. You got to help him at no cost. He doesn't have to pay you. However, mitzvah te'ina, if your friend needs help loading up his donkey, let's say you tell your friend, you know, look, I work for a living. Yeah, what do? I'm a professional jury duty guy. I go to jury duty every day. How much do you make doing jury duty? Anybody know? I know because I was called this week. How much money do you make doing jury duty? 40 bucks a day. 40 bucks a day. I didn't, whatever. You have, for the first postponement is, you can make a first postponement. I'm not going to say anything. Okay. So, te'ina is b'schar. You only have to help your friend load up a donkey for pay. You could say, look, otherwise I could have been gainfully employed. I'm not helping you load up the donkey unless you pay me. Says Gemara, why is prika b'chinam and te'ina b'schar? Why do you have to help your friend unload for free and load for payment? Says the Gemara, tsar balei chayim d'oiraisa. Because when the animal's overburdened, he's distressed and he's in pain. And the pain of an animal is a biblical concept. So you're mechuyev, you're obligated to help your friend unload the donkey. You're not obligated to help your friend load the donkey. See, the donkey isn't loaded yet. You're not alleviating the donkey. So therefore, he has to pay you to help him out. But to unload the donkey is distressed. And therefore, you have to help him out even if he doesn't pay you. Mm-hmm. So now the Gemara says like this. That means, which mitzvah is more important, prika or te'ina? Unloading or loading? So Gemara says, prika adif. Unloading is a bigger mitzvah. Why? Because even though they're both mitzvahs, but prika has a mitzvah and sar balei chayim, te'ina is just a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, there is one instance where you need to help your friend load. Where if so, in other words, let's like this. Reuven needs help doing prika. Shimon needs help doing te'ina. You're going to help Reuven do prika as opposed to helping Shimon do te'ina. Says the Gemara, there's one instance where you'll do te'ina over prika. What's that situation? Reuven's your best friend. You sit next to him in shul, which was your first mistake. You go to the bungalow colony with him. You go bowling with him. You eat pizza with him. Reuven's your friend. Shimon, you can't stand him. Because you belong to the rabbi on 34th Street and he belongs to the rabbi on 35th Street. So you belong to different worlds. You don't like him. You don't look at him. You don't talk to him. So Reuven's your friend. Shimon's your enemy. Says the Gemara, Oyhev lifroik v'soine litoin. Your friend needs help doing unloading. Your enemy needs help doing loading. It's a mitzvah to help your enemy. Kedei lachuf es yitzroi, to overcome your instincts. You want to help your friend. You don't want to help your enemy. So to overcome your yetzer, to overcome your natural instinct, it's a bigger mitzvah to help your enemy load than to help your friend unload. So Gemara asks, yeah, but wait a second. Tzar balei chayim is d'oraisa. It's very nice. It's an important thing to overcome your yetzer hara. So you'll say maybe it's a bigger inyan to help your enemy than to help your friend. But your friend needs help unloading and tzar balei chayim is d'oraisa. Says the Gemara, afilu hachi, lachuf es yitzroi adif. It's better to overcome your base instinct than to do a mitzvah d'oraisa of tzar balei chayim. Right? The lashon of the Gemara is, kedei lachuf es yitzroi adif. Question. Where in the Torah does it say that it's a good thing to overcome your yetzer hara? Which mitzvah is that? What do you mean to overcome your yetzer hara? I'm doing mitzvahs. I have a mitzvah of prika. I have a mitzvah of te'ina. The mitzvah of prika is a greater mitzvah. So shouldn't I do the mitzvah of prika? No, but I don't like that guy. So it's a bigger inyan to overcome my natural instinct. What now? I'm giving up mitzvahs to fulfill some kind of progressive self-help idea that, you know, it's good to go out of your comfort zone. Now, where does this come from, that there's a maila of lachuf es yitzray? What about the idea that sar balei chayim is daraisa? How could you give up a biblical consideration? How could you give up a consideration min ha-Torah of tzar balei chayim in order to fulfill this new idea of lachuf es yitzray? But here's the big problem. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, what does it mean that you see your enemy who needs help doing te'ina? What do you mean your enemy? What kind of enemy? Wait, he's Amalek? If he's Amalek, I don't have to help him. Is he Jewish? I mean, if he's a Nachri, then I wouldn't have a mitzvah to help the Nachri over Yisrael who needs either Prika or Tina. So what kind of soine is it? So maybe it's a Jewish person who I hate. What do you mean a Jewish person that you hate? You're not allowed to hate him. Why would the Torah say, if you see your enemy, what the Torah is acknowledging, that there's someone you're allowed to hate? What do you mean, your enemy? What kind of enemy is this? A Jewish enemy? You're allowed to have a Jewish enemy? So Gemara says, yeah, of course you're allowed to have a Jewish enemy. If two Edom testify that the man committed adultery, then you're allowed to hate him because he committed a terrible avera. He was avar yisura. So the case must be where he's your enemy because we have witnesses that he violated Gilui Arayos. So the Gemara asks, well, if we have witnesses that he violated Gilui Arayos, he's not your enemy, he's the enemy of the whole Jewish people. He's not specifically your enemy. Why would it say, ki yireh, soinacha, if you see your enemy? He's not your enemy, he's the enemy of the Jewish people. It can't be where we have two Edim that we saw he committed adultery. Says the Gemara, the case must be where you saw he committed adultery and no one else saw. So you're allowed to hate him. And in that case, the Torah says, if he needs to do te'ina and your friend needs to do prika, it's a bigger mitzvah to help your enemy do te'ina to overcome your yetzahara. Okay, so that's the case. The case is, Reuven's a great guy. Reuven's your friend. He needs help doing prika. Tzar bal chayim daraisa. Shimon is a oisvarf bum. You happen to be walking through a house and you saw Shimon committed Gilui Arayos. You're the only one who saw. So you're allowed to hate him. Halachically, you're allowed to hate him. And the Torah is saying, help your enemy, do the smaller mitzvah te'ina in order to overcome your Yetzihara. Comes Tosfos, and Tosfos says, I don't understand. If you saw that Shimon committed adultery, and he, therefore he's your enemy, then he's allowed to be your enemy, and you're allowed to hit him. So what do you mean, lachuf es yitzray? You're not overcoming your yetzer. There's nothing wrong with your feelings of animosity to him, because you saw he committed a terrible avera. So it's very nice, we're identifying. You know who your enemy is? A guy who you're the only one in the world who saw that he committed adultery. Great, you're the only one who saw. But you saw, then you're authorized to hate him. If you saw him commit adultery, you're authorized to hate him. Good kasha, that's Tosfos' kasha. Says Tosfos, yes, you're authorized to hate him. But now Tosfos climbs into the subconscious of the guy who you saw him commit adultery. So you saw him commit adultery. How do you feel toward him? You hate him. How does he now feel toward you? How does Shimon feel toward you? So there's a principle in psychology called, if you want to know how someone feels toward you, the way you feel toward them is how he feels toward you. You know what this is called? Kemayim panim el panim kein leiv bnei ha'adam el chaveray. Like water reflects another face, so too do hearts reflect each other. If you're unsure, how does this person feel toward me? The way you feel toward them is how they feel toward you. So, you saw Shimon commit adultery. You hate him because he committed an avera, and you're allowed to hate him. How does he feel toward you? He hates you. It's only natural. in response to his hatred toward you, how do you feel toward him? You hate him back. That reciprocal hatred, is that authorized or is that not authorized? The rebound hatred is unauthorized. The initial hatred is authorized. I'm allowed to hate him for doing an avera. But now he hates me. Am I allowed to hate him for hating me? No. I'm only allowed to hate him for doing an avera. I can't hate him for hating me. So Tosfos says, what's the enemy the Torah is talking about? A guy who initially was allowed to be your enemy, but on the rebound, the rebound hatred was unauthorized. And therefore it comes out what the Torah is saying is that if you have a guy who is your authorized enemy, but on the rebound, you're not allowed to hate him, and he needs you to help him with a small mitzvah, and your good friend needs help doing a bigger mitzvah, it's a bigger inyan to help your enemy do a smaller mitzvah to overcome the tiny little bit of additional hatred that you have toward him, which is unauthorized. By the way, just this psychological principle of kemayim panim apanim, kein lev b'nei adam al chaver, I just want to share with you two very interesting practical ramifications of it. First of all, our Chaim HaKadosh learns on the Pasuk, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, says our Chaim HaKadosh, what was Yehuda doing by what he was coming close to Yosef? What do you mean? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda was walking toward Yosef? No, Yehuda was psychologically manipulating Yosef. How? Because since there's a principle, the way you feel toward me is the way I feel toward you. If I manufacture feelings of closeness toward you, even artificial, you will then respond in kind and feel close to me. So what Yehuda was trying to do is, this tyrant, this dictator, was giving them a hard time. His only recourse was, let me try to manufacture feelings of closeness toward Yosef. Maybe in response, he'll feel close to me, and that will mend our relationship. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda started to engender closeness toward Yosef, to draw Yosef toward him. Which is a pretty interesting idea, which means that, you know, you could artificially manufacture feelings of closeness toward someone to draw them closer to you. Which means you could manipulate someone. The thing is, once they feel close to you, you might start actually feeling close to them. So it might be dangerous. Another instance where the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh uses this principle is when Yaakov Avinu could not stop mourning for Yosef. We know that Yaakov Avinu could not be consoled. Why? Because you can only be consoled from a mess. You can't be consoled from someone who's actually alive. Because there's a gzeirah on a mess, that a mess is forgotten, but there's no gezeira on a chai, that a chai is forgotten. So the question is, what do you mean there's a gezeira on the mace? The gezeira is not on the mace. The gezeira is on the mourner, that Hashem decrees the mourner forgets about the mess. But why do Chazal say Hashem decrees the mess is forgotten about from the mourner? It's not that the decree is the mace is forgotten. The decree is the living forget the dead. No. Says the Hafla, do you know why the living forget the dead? Because God made a decree about the dead, that the dead are not allowed to think about the living. And once the dead can't think about the living, so the living automatically forget about the dead. But if the person's alive and they're thinking about their loved ones will automatically be thinking of them. Because there's a principle. And when somebody thinks about you, you will think about them. Did it ever happen to you? It happens to me daily. That I think about someone, and then they call me. It happens to me throughout the day. I'm thinking about somebody, and then they call me. What? That's strange. You know, like, huh? I was just thinking about it. Why did you call me now? The reason is because he was thinking about me to call me a minute ago. So I thought about him, and then he called me. I'm in the shul, I'm thinking about a guy, and then he walks into the shul. Isn't that weird? No, because as he's walking to the shul, he's thinking about, you know, he's thinking about the rabbi, so thinking about him. You'll see it's very prevalent. That's the klal of Archaim HaKadosh. The Archaim HaKadosh says the hearts speak to each other secrets. That even when we're not talking to each other and we're in distant lands, we're in different locations, there's a communication of the hearts. So this is this phenomenon at play. I'm hating you because I saw you do something wrong. In response, you hate me back, and I was allowed to hate you. You're hating me back, and my rebound hatred for your hatred for me is unauthorized. So that's the lach of es yitzrei that we're dealing with. So wait a second. Let's think about what's going on over here. I have a mitzvah to do to Reuven. It's a much bigger mitzvah. It's a mitzvah prika. Also, is animal suffering. We say, no, don't do that mitzvah. Help out Shimon to overcome your instinct. What do you mean to overcome my instinct? I thought we're Jewish people. I thought we keep the Taryag mitzvahs. The Taryag mitzvahs are, don't wear shatnez, don't eat treif, daven every day, put on tefillin, put on tzitzis. Since when is overcoming your base instinct so important and so fundamental that it overrides the mitzvah of prika? That's what we're trying to investigate this evening.
You said that a mate doesn't think about it.
Yes.
So why do we say by novel that the mate should be a mate with Yosher?
Why? What should we tell him?
He's not thinking about
it. We should say he shouldn't be a mate with
Yosher. He's a mate with Yosher, that means he's thinking about it.
For the first year. After a year, the mess can't think about the... That's the gezerah. The gezerah is after 1 year, the mess doesn't think about the chai. Doesn't mean not at all. Doesn't mean... That's what the Hafla says. The Hashem decrees about the mess that his focus is no longer on the living. To what extent? Does that mean totally? We could discuss that. Okay, but the question at hand is, what exactly is the value of what the Gemara says, kidei lochof es yitzrei, that this value is held in such importance that it overrides even what the Gemara says, that prika being a greater mitzvah, because sar bale chayim is da'iraisa. So this is a question that's discussed in a sefer. I don't know if we ever mentioned the sefer before. Sefer Ar HaTzafon of the Altar of Slabatka. This is not a sefer that is familiar to many people, but these are the shmuzin of the Altar of Slabatka. And in Chelek Beis, he brings this Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim, and he wants to know, what exactly is the value of overriding Mitzvah's Prika and Mitzvah's Sar Bali Chaim D'Oraisa in order to fulfill this idea to overcome your base instinct? And he brings a very fundamental idea. The Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, Amar Rav, Imras Hashem Tzrufa, that the words of Hashem are pure, which Chazal seemed to say to mean, Loi nitnu ha-mitzvois ela letzaref bahenes habriyos. The purpose of fulfilling the mitzvois is to purify a person. The purpose of doing the mitzvahs. In other words, there's 613 mitzvahs. Each mitzvah is very important. Each mitzvah you get rewarded for. But is there an underlying purpose of all the mitzvahs in the Torah? Is there a common theme and an objective of all the mitzvahs of the Torah? Yes. The objective of the mitzvahs of the Torah are kedei letzaref es habriyos, to purify a person, to extract from a person any rishus, any selfishness, any narrow-mindedness, any bad midah. That's the underlying tachlis of all the Torah and all the mitzvahs. So, yes, in general, when you're dealing with isolated mitzvahs and the value of various mitzvahs, and you want to know, what has more value, prik or te'ina? There's no question. Unloading is more valuable than loading. Unloading has sar bali chayim do'iraisa. But since the entire purpose of doing a mitzvah is to overcome selfishness and overcome bad tendencies and overcome narrow-mindedness and overcome bad midos, if you're in a situation where you could do two things, A is greater, but B, you have the opportunity to overcome your instinct, you're going to fulfill B, because by fulfilling B, you're not just fulfilling a mitzvah, you're fulfilling the entire purpose of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So you're not going to evaluate it based on its independent worth. Now you're going to look, is there a certain value in B that transcends the fulfillment of all the mitzvahs? Okay? So now this brings us to a very important comment of the Gra. The Gra in his commentary to Mishlei, Perek Daled, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he writes similarly in the Evan Shlema, a very famous line. If you want to take a look in your sheets, it's page Taf Daled. It's kedai to see this Gra inside. The Gra says, "Ki masha ha'adam chai, that which a person is alive, who kedei lishbar mashloi shavar adhena, is to break a mida that until now you never broke. It's to be able to overcome a tendency that until now you have not been able to overcome. L'chein sarach tamid l'hischazek. You have to always strengthen yourself to overcome your midas. V'imlo yischazek. If you don't strengthen yourself, lama li chayim. What are you living for? What are you doing? If you're not breaking a mida, if you're not actively, in other words, tomorrow is a day, tomorrow's Thursday. Thursday is a good day. If tomorrow you don't break a mida, you don't overcome something you never overcame before, then what are you alive for? What are you doing? Why are you breathing? Why is your heart beating? So the question is, what do you mean, what am I doing? Why am I alive? Why is my heart beating? Because I have to learn daf yomi. And I have to do mitzvahs. I have to put on tefillin. And I have to daven. So how could you say, lama li chayim? You're going to say to somebody who's a shomer Torah mitzvahs, that if he's not breaking a midah, what's he living for? What do you mean, what's he living for? He's doing mitzvahs all day. The answer is, if he's just cashing in, doing mitzvahs, and doing mitzvahs, and doing mitzvahs, but he is not actively overcoming a certain tendency that he has, then his avodas Hashem is missing the entire objective of why he's serving Hashem. The whole purpose of learning Torah, the whole purpose of doing mitzvahs, is to break a bad midah, to break a bad tendency that a person has. If he's not doing that, then you could say lama li chayim. It's pointless. It's purposeless. What's he alive for? You know, he might as well, let's call it a day. You know, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't put a person here in this world just for his learning, just for his mitzvahs, if by learning and doing those mitzvahs, he's not actively overcoming a bad tendency. So, Rav Miller wrote a famous book. I don't know how famous it is, but it's a very important book. It's called Career of Happiness. You ever see this? Yes. Career of Happiness. You saw it?
I read it.
You read it?
Yeah.
And the foundational principle of this book is a line in the Chavos HaVavos in Shaar Avodas Elokim, Perek Tes. Chavos HaVavos says, God gives man life for three reasons. Two of them we're not going to discuss tonight. One of them is to become like Malachim HaSoivlim, to become like tolerant angels. What exactly does that mean? What that means is, one of the main purposes in life is to suffer inconveniences and to overcome the selfishness and anger and frustration. In other words, to smooth yourself over by becoming like a malach who is soivel elbein, tolerant of insult and setback. Meaning like this. If a person goes through life and everything goes their way and the temperature is exactly how they want it and the color of the paint is exactly how they want it and the floor is exactly how they want it and they always get the attention that they want and they always get the recognition that they want, then they develop intolerance because there's nothing they have to tolerate. The purpose of life is basically, we're all very rough. We all have a lot of imperfections. But when things don't go exactly our way, and we learn to remain silent and accept it with grace, then we become sandpapered, and we become smoothed out, and we become perfected. And this is one of the main reasons why we're alive. Now, in order to achieve this greatness, you have to be associated with people. Because people in general are extremely difficult. Most people are very difficult to get along with. You know why? because you don't agree with most things that people do and say. So if you don't have any connection with people, life is much smoother. And actually, many of the Sifrei Musar say that one of the best avenues of coming close to Hashem is to go into seclusion, because as long as you're in the company of people, it's distracting, and many times they're doing the wrong thing, and they take you away from Avodas Hashem. But on the other hand, by being associated with people, and you have to get along with them, you're forced to get along with them, that will smooth you out. And this, Rav Miller says, is one of the main reasons for one of the most important institutions in life, and that is marriage. Because you might ask, why, if God wants us to serve Him and to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, then why did He create a world where people get married? Does that advance our opportunities? Or does that challenge our opportunities? Does it make it easier to do what Hashem wants? Or, I don't mean for anybody in this room, but I heard that people outside of this room, sometimes marriage could be more challenging to what a person wants to do and accomplish in life. But the answer is like this. You know what? I'm going to read to you what Rav Miller writes. Because if you're a bachelor, even if you have a boss at work who tells you, come at 9 o'clock, don't come a minute later, and I want you to sit at your chair straight, and I don't want you to look to the right, and I don't want you to look to the left, and I don't want you to look at your phone, and I want you to do the work that I tell you and smile at me all day, but when you go home at 5 o'clock, you can walk into your house, take off your shoes, throw one shoe under the couch, one shoe through the window, you could go into the bathroom, smear the toothpaste half on your toothbrush, half all over the sink, smear it on the windows, take off one sock, put it in the garbage, the other sock, you could hang, you could do whatever you want, and nobody would say boo to you. And therefore, you're going to end up not having a successful journey through this world. You know why? Because you're able to do what everyone, because you could then go home and put the temperature on 70 and a half degrees. But if you're married, you're going to walk in the house and it's going to be 74 degrees and you can't stand it. It's way too hot for your liking. And then you're going to come down and the food that you wanted to eat, it's going to be not well done enough because that's how she wants it. And your entire life, you're going to encounter experiences that are not to your liking. And if you train yourself to tolerate it and to accept it with grace, then you're fulfilling the most important avenue of Avodas Hashem. Perhaps greater than learning Torah, greater than davening, greater than putting on tefillin. And that is to become like Malachim Hasoivlim, to become tolerant. That the purpose of all the mitzvahs is kedei lachof es yitzray. And that is why Hashem said, Loi toiv heyoysa adam levada. It's not good to be alone. Because if you're alone, then you have things exactly how you want them. But once you get married, and you're going to think you're going to marry someone exactly like you, pal, you never learned the Gemara, there are no two people in this world. Kashem she'en partzufeim doima zulazu, kach ein deyoseim doima zulazu. The same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike, and you had the mazel to marry someone who doesn't agree with you on any issue under the sun. Yeah, when you were dating, she said, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on A, I agree with you on B, I agree with you on C. We're going to send our kids to this yeshiva, we're going to daven in this shul, we're going to have the temperature on this. Whatever you say, honey. And then it's amazing how a year later, there's not one issue in life that she agrees with you on. She's doing you a favor. She's helping you out. So let's say a guy, now I'm going to tell you what Rav Miller said. And don't yell at me that modern therapists, they don't agree with this. First of all, I don't really care. And second of all, I'm telling you what Rav Miller says, okay? So if you have a difference of opinion, you could discuss it with him. I'm repeating what Rav Miller would say. So you have a wife, the husband comes home, and he's a grouch. He's a grouch. And she has supper ready for him. And every single word he says, she says, he jumps down her throat. and he's abusive. So if she gives it back to him, nothing will be gained. She doesn't gain anything. If she's smart, she doesn't say anything. In fact, she bakes him an extra dessert just to make him happy. So you say, but she's not changing him. Of course she's not changing him. She's not trying to change him. She's changing herself. She's perfecting herself. It's very hard to change anybody. Actually, it's almost impossible to change anybody. The only person you could change is yourself. And if she did that, she didn't change him, but she perfected herself. She's become like Malach HaSoivlim, and she's fulfilled one of the greatest achievements of this world, and that is to be someone who's tolerant of difficult passengers. You know, in Yiddish, there's an expression that there are people in this world that are difficult passengers. There are a lot of people that are difficult passengers. On the other hand, the guy comes home after a long day. The boss is abusive to him. Everyone looks down on him. He's starving. He's feeling down on himself. And the moment he walks in the door, she's yelling at him. She's screaming at him. I don't know, saying, you know, you're out in the office all day talking NFL, and I'm here, I'm dealing with the kids all day. Listen, now I watch them all day. Now you watch them for the rest of the night, and you wash the dishes, and you take over. I've been, you know, working the whole day. You've been taking it easy. What does he want to say? He wants to give it to her. But he gains nothing. You know what he should do? He say, really? You're right. You're right. You had a hard day. What do you want me to do? You want to go to bed? You want to lie down? You want to go out? Go, go. I'll do the dishes. I'll take care of the kids. No, 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 no. She'll say, I didn't really mean that. You see? So she doesn't even want you to watch the kids. She doesn't even want you to wash the dishes. She just wants you to say that she's right. Usually. And if you do that, you're mekayim lacha fasitzrei. That's not what you want to say to her. You take a very deep breath. You say, hineni muchanu mezuman lekayim, not a mitzvah, lekayim the tachlis of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And that is kedei lacha fasitzrei. And what marriage gives a person the opportunity to do, more than any other area of life, is to fulfill the great tachlis of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that is to overcome natural tendencies, to overcome selfishness, to overcome your preferences, to overcome your specific taste, and to say, you know what? No problem. Yeah, your way of doing it, that's the better way. Your pain color, it's much nicer. It's much nicer that way. It's much better when I'm schwitzing the whole night. It's so much more comfortable when it's boiling hot in the room. And if she's smart, she'll say, I'm so comfortable having to wear 90 layers of clothing in this room. It's very refreshing. That's the purpose of life. To become like Malachim HaSoivlim. It's more important than any one mitzvah. Yeah, prika is a very big mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to help somebody unload. There's a mitzvah of Tzar Bali Chaim Doiraisa. But greater than Tzar Bali Chaim Doiraisa is Kedei Locha Fesitzrei. Listen to the Nakuda. The way the Altar of Slabatka learns, the Nakuda is that because by overcoming your Yetzer, you're fulfilling the purpose of the mitzvahs. You see, Prika is a mitzvah, but by being Locha Fesitzrei, you're fulfilling the Tachlis of the mitzvahs. The Tachlis of the mitzvahs is Kedei Locha Fesitzrei. Then let me just share with you one other nekuda, one other angle of how to answer this question, a little different than the Altar of Slabatka. Again, the way the Altar of Slabatka learns, the value of Lacha Fes Yitzray, why is that more important than Tzar Bali Chaim Doiraisa? Because Lacha Fes Yitzray fulfills the objective of the mitzvahs. The objective of the mitzvahs is to overcome your Yetzer. Let's deal now with the question of Reb Chaim Vital. I was very happy to see in the news today that after 33 years, for the first time, Syrian Jews were invited by the new itinerant government in Syria to go back to Syria. And I guess I don't know where these Jews were from, whether it's from Deal or Ocean Parkway. They went back to Syria today, and they went to the kever of Reb Chaim Vital after 33 years. And this new governor, what's his name? Al Golani. That was his old name. Now he has a new name. Now he wears a suit. You know, I don't know. He got it somewhere on Central Avenue. And he let this chevra back. And now they're saying Jews should now return back to Syria. Okay. Zolzai nazai. I told the tour company maybe we should make a tour to Syria. You know who else is buried there besides Reb Chaim Vital? The great-great-great-grandfather of the Abir Yaakov, Reb Shmuel Elbaz, the father, the patriarch of the Abichatzira dynasty, is buried there, a Talmud of Reb Chaim Vital. Anyway, Reb Chaim Vital asks the following question. Why doesn't the Torah talk about Midas? Why doesn't the Torah say, it's loy tichos, you know? Loy tirtzach, loy tinaf. Why doesn't the Torah say, don't get angry? Why doesn't the Torah say, don't be arrogant? The Torah doesn't talk about midos. And on the other hand, Chazal say, kol ha-koyes, kilo oved avodah zara. Anyone who gets angry, it's like serving avodah zara. It says, kol mi sheyesh bagasus haruach, anyone who has arrogance, is kekoifer be'ikar. So on the one hand, the Torah doesn't talk about midos. And on the other hand, Chazal say, it doesn't say if you murder someone, it's like you're kaifer b'ikar. It doesn't say that if you don't put on tefillin, it's like being oivin avodah zarah. So if having kas is like being oivin avodah zarah, if having arrogance is like you're kaifer b'ikar, the Torah should say, don't get angry, don't get arrogant. Right? You ever hear this question? It's a famous question. Why doesn't the Torah talk about midas? So Reb Chaim Vital is usually quoted as saying, and it's somewhat correct to quote him this way. He does say something of the sort, although he says it much deeper. The Reb Chaim Vital in the Shari Kedusha, Chelek Aleph Shar Beis, that there are 613 midos, mitzvahs. But, for example, if you build a building, let's say this building, Young Israel of Woodmere, before they built the building, they have to lay a foundation. So the foundation is not part of the building. Foundation is necessary to build a building upon it. What's worse? What would be worse if there would be, if a building, if a room would be ruined, or if there would be a crack in the foundation? Of course, if there's a crack in the foundation, that's worse if a room is ruined. So what's worse? Is it worse to have a midara, or is it worse to violate an avera? Of course, it's worse to have a midara. So why doesn't the Torah talk about it? The same way that once we're in the building, we don't really talk about the foundation. So once the edifice of Torah is built upon the foundation of midos tayvos. But if you're lacking in a midah, if you have arrogance, if you have anger, so if you're angry, it's like you're oved avodah zarah. If you have arrogance, it's like you're koifer be'ikar. Chazal say, if someone who is bal gaiva, ro'i legodoy kashera, you should cut him down like an asherah tree. Then there's no tchias hamisim for a bal gaiva. Why doesn't Chazal say there's no tchias hamisim for someone who doesn't wear tzitzis? The answer is because tzitzis is only a mitzvah. But arrogance, kas, is a midah. Midah is foundational. The whole Torah is built on a midah. Actually, the way Reb Chaim Vital says it is that we know that the 613 mitzvahs correspond to a person's neshama. The neshama has 248 evarim ruchaniyim and 365 gidim ruchaniyim. And the neshama rests upon the nefesh. The foundation of the neshama is the nefesh. The midos are in the nefesh. The midos are the foundation. The mitzvos are the edifice. So according to this, also, very similar to what the author of Sabbatka is saying, but a little bit slightly different, that of course, prika as a mitzvah has more value than te'ina as a mitzvah. But what if prika is for my friend and te'ina is for my enemy? And by doing te'ina to my enemy, what I'm doing is I'm solidifying the foundation of the Torah. The foundation, having a strong foundation, is more valuable than having a little bit of a nicer room. Maybe it will look better. Maybe it will be more enjoyable in the short term. But in terms of its inherent value, better to overcome a base instinct, better to overcome a stinginess or a narrow-mindedness or a personal animosity that I might have to my enemy, even though, like Chazal say, it's not a real animosity. It's a very slight animosity. I was allowed to hate him to begin with. The animosity we're talking about is only on the rebound because I have the animosity, he hates me back, and I hate him back because he hates me. Still, it's more valuable to overcome the sin I have to him, because by doing so, I am fortifying the foundation of the whole Torah rather than being mekayim the mitzvah of prika. Just to put this into focus, Rashi tells us in the beginning of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Malachi Asharis when it came time to make man, Hashem said, Nase Adam, let us make man. So Rashi says, from here we see, An v'sanusa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the humility of Hashem. We see the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though it could lead people to think that there's more than one God, it was worthwhile for Hashem to teach a lesson in Midos Toivos at the expense of people, heaven forbid, thinking there's more than one God. So the Beis Halevi would point out, from here we see something very simple, that a Midah Toiva, it's more important to teach a lesson in Midos Toivos than to teach a lesson even in Emuna and Deos. So this is the limud of Prika is greater than Te'ina. But soine litoin, the oyev lifroik, it's more important to help the soine litoin. Why? Kedei lachof es yitzray adif. Therefore, coming back to our original question, what does the Gemara mean in Yevamos? Hasharoi b'loi isha, sharoi b'loi taira. Someone who has no wife, has no taira. Well, how does the wife supply a person with taira? The answer is because if a person is learning on their own schedule and on their own, they have no Torah because they have no foundation for the Torah. The Midos Toivos, the ability to be a Savlan, the ability to overcome Lachof Es Yitzray, is only provided through the institution of Loi Toiv Hayois HaAdam Levadoi Es Eloi Ezer Kenegdoi. But if somebody who has an Isha and is able to take advantage of this institution to overcome, we're talking about a husband and wife who are ba'ahava v'achva, but even so, no two people ever have the same opinions, no two people ever have the same preferences, and marriage provides a person with the avenue to fulfill what the Chavos HaVavos says is one of the purposes of creation, to become like the Malachim HaSoivlim, to become like the tolerant angels, and someone who takes advantage of the great institution of marriage will be Zoicha to Torah, because the Yesoid of Kala Torah Kula and the objective of Kala Torah Kula is Kedei Lachof Es Yitzray. Have a great night, everyone. Shkoyach. Do we have a minion?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.